Blog Talk Radio.
What it is? What was it? What got it to work now?
It's on now. I don't know.
How come earlier it wasn't and now it is?
I don't know, but you're good now, so.
Yay! I win.
You win.
I mean, yeah, that's just something I do with when I play these different games. But nonetheless, now we're golden, as they say, and it's good to know that we are, you know, golden and knowing that everything works as it's supposed to. And so we're on the air. And if you missed last night, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And we talked about how it really is important to make a stand for what it is that you believe in. It's important to make a stand for what you believe in. It really is. That's important. You really should make a stand and not just be, oh, I don't know what's going on. Is it going to work for me? Is it not going to work for me? Woe is me. I don't know. You know. But God, the truth is, God has us. And he wants the best for us. He really does. He wouldn't just say so and decide otherwise. No, he really wants the best for us. And there was something that I've been thinking about a bit lately. Years ago, Pastor told a story about how he saw this person that he knew that had a bumper sticker on his vehicle. Bumper sticker says, God is my co-pilot. Yeah, it said, God is my co-pilot. So Pastor saw it and goes, okay. And then he decides to put an X on that, co, so that it would just say, God is my pilot, which I think we can learn a lot from that because, you know, ultimately we want God to be involved. Ultimately we want God. We don't want to be, it's not so good for you to always be calling your own shots. Sometimes you got to let God be God. Let him be the leader. Let him help you. Let him help you. Let him be that pilot. Because sometimes, as you're on this airplane called your life, you know, and it's got to be flown, the pilot has to be able to listen. But ultimately, God, you know, you just let God be God, and you obey, you do what he says, and you let him be the pilot of your life, as opposed to you choosing to let him kind of more or less be the co-pilot or not have him at all. Just let him be the pilot. Just let God be the pilot of your life. Hopefully you won't crash and burn, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to crash and burn. I don't want to miss the mark. I want to make the mark and hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's just like where you have, you know, that great landing. But of course, before that, you know, that great, you know, takeoff. I'm not the pilot of an airplane by any means, but I've been on flights and I was just thinking about about that whole God is my pilot thing. And so should let God be the pilot as opposed to just letting yourself make all the shots. I mean, call all the shots, of your life and acting like you know it all when you don't, when you should just give it up, when you could just give it all to God and let God be God. Because God wants to be God. God wants to be God. God wants to be involved. He does, because he cares about you. You know? And he even wants, and yes, he wants to help you through those turbulent times. You know, like how when you're on, sometimes when you're on an aircraft, you may run into turbulence. And in your own life, if you live on the earth, you're gonna go through some times that may feel rather turbulent. And what I mean by turbulent, I mean not knowing what's gonna come next. You might not know. It might not be. It won't always be like that smooth sailing that you want it to be. It won't always be like that smooth flight or that smooth drive down the road or that smooth, trip on the water or whatever analogy you want to use. You know, as you go through this journey of life, you know, as you go through your time on the earth, you know, whether you want to equate it to an airplane or down the road or whatever, you know. So that's what I was thinking about this. You know, God is my pilot, not me. If you try being your own, be ready for failure. But you let God be God, it'll be a whole lot better for you. If you let God be God, and God's not necessarily going to tell you which color car you need to buy and things like that. He's not going to tell you that. But he does want the best for you. And so, you know, you just got to let God be God and let him do what he does best. Because he's a miracle-working God, as well as being the best guide that you could have. That's why you let his word be a guide for your life. That's part of how you let God be your pilot as you go through life. Or your ship captain, or your driver, or your whatever, you know, you want to use. You know, but he's not your anything. I can't think of anything in the Bible where it said Jesus is the co-savior. He's the way, the truth, the life, not the second, not the third, the. So for any of you who thought that, you know, that God is my co-pilot, that's not great. That's not good doctrine. No, God is my pilot. Not co, not third or fourth or fifth. Nope, he's in charge. Well, let me rephrase that. You know, if you let him be in charge, you know, and I always claim, you know, God's got me. And I don't just, and it's not just something that I say because it might sound cool or something like that, you know, to say that I know God's got me, which he does. And I can see where it sounds cool, but I believe that because it's the truth. And I know the Word of God works. I know the Word of God works. It's not a maybe. It's not an I guess. It's not a maybe, you know, I don't know. Does he or does he not? You know, I don't know. It's, nope. He has us. Because he loves us. And I just, you know, you just let God be God in your life. And you just let him, it'll be better for you if you just let him be God. Surrender yourself before him. And let him be God in your life. And so that's just what's kind of what's been on my heart the last couple days. And so I felt like I was supposed to share that little nugget. So whether you want to believe it, like, you know, God is my pilot, God is in charge, God's got me, you know, whatever. But, you know, let God be God. And because I feel like if you believe that God is my co-pilot thing, it's like allowing him to be second place. Because generally, you know, it's like if you fly on an air, if you go on an airplane, you know, there'll be a pilot, but then there'll be a co-pilot under that. And the co-pilot is under that. So how much more so with your own life? And that's just what was on my heart. So thank you for letting me bring you that little word of encouragement.
Try again. Tuesday, January 6, 6:48 p.m.
Amen. So just let him be God. Watch God be God. And don't lean on your own, you know, understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding, because if you do, it won't help you as much. It just isn't going to help you as much if you decide that you're going to lean on your own understanding. It won't be helpful for you. And so, amen. I want to remind you of a couple things that I always remind you of. Number one, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been, how God has always been there for us. Even for me personally. And, you know, and I pray and I believe God, and I've seen results in my life because I've let God be God. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. You just have to. And And so, you know, you go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing for you. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. And I really believe that. You can go online. This book is a great book. And I've heard of stories of where people have read the book and they've shared it with other people. Someone I know down in Florida has given it to a few different people. Down there in the Orlando area of Florida. So, the word's been getting around. The book's been going places. And I'm believing that in the name of Jesus, more and more people are going to read the book. And I believe that God's going to do it. I really do. And so, that book, it's a great book. Avail yourself to it. And then why not give it to someone else? Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about, real quickly, is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. You can sow a seed into the Miracle Man program if it's been a blessing to your life. I pray that the book has been a blessing to your life. I really do. It's not something I take lightly. I want it to be a blessing for you. I really do. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. And when you sow into the Miracle Man program, you are sowing into fertile ground. Fertile ground. It's not thorny. It's not rocky. Nope. It's good, fertile ground. And as you sow that seed, and I get notification that seed's been sown, I pray over that seed. I really do. I thank God for that seed. Because it's great that people would want to be partners and believe in us. It's great. It really is great. I mean, I think it's great. I don't know about you. Maybe not. But amen. It is. Hallelujah. And so, amen. And you go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would please, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like you to keep in mind, if you would please, is, like I said, the first R in Rivers, capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. Please make a note of that. And also that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So please, if you would so kindly, make a note of that for yourself. I would appreciate that greatly. I would appreciate that greatly. So just make a note of that for me. And then I'm going to sing a couple songs, then get into the word of the Lord tonight. I'm giving you my yes, with no exception. You can have my rights, not a man. I am giving you my yes. Whatever's coming next, I know you got me. You can have my yes. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. I'm giving you my fear of never knowing. Even in the mind, I'm knowing. You might second guessing. I'll answer when you ask. Cause who can come against if you are for me? And even in the fire, I know you've got me. I'm giving you my yes again. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the light that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I'll leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you, yes. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. Oh, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. You're the way, lift you lay, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You've conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. You're the way, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind, yes. You're the lamp, you're the light, you're the cloud that guides me. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life inside me. You conquered my fear, so I leave it all behind. I'm running to the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's that bag you got?
It's chips. From Jim and John.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. For you have never failed me yet. Oh. Knowing that waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. Oh, I'll see you do it again. I see you move. We move the mountains, and I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Promise in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That you are there for us. You're making a way for us when it seems like there is no way. You are making a way for us. Even when it seems to us like there's no other way, you make a way. And I know, Master, that you are just making a way. Even when I don't think there is one, you're making one. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing on our behalf, that you're moving on our behalf. And I just know, Master, that you are just there for us. And Lord, thank you that even when we fall, you're there to pick us up. Lord, thank you for that, that you're there to pick us up as we go through life. In your name, Jesus. Thank you for our time in the Word tonight, that these listeners have ears ready to hear your Word, that they're ready to receive whatever it is that you have in store for them tonight. And I thank you for that, that you are doing it for them. In your name, Jesus, as I know, you're doing it for them. And I make my confession over this program tonight, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go with me, if you would please, to the book of Daniel 6. Praise God, Daniel 6. I'm going to begin with verse 1. I am going to teach tonight on Daniel in the lion's den. Praise God. Daniel 6. Going to begin with verse number 1. Like I had said. Praise God. I was just giving you all a minute to find it. Verse 1 of chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. But please, Darius, to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators, the satraps, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct. It's government affairs. But they weren't able to do so. In other words, the way we would say this, basically, is there was essentially politics there. Yep, there was politics there. There was politics. Continuing. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." Verse 6. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and they said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Basically, he issued an executive order. Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, capital G, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, nor to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was excited and happy and was grateful that he stood up. Oh, I'm sorry. The decree is still put in writing. He still prays three times a day. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order and then brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signature, and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You see, so Daniel, you know, this time, in this story we read about, there is a kingdom, and in this kingdom there's King Darius, and King Darius, at first, you know, he wants to put Daniel, he wants to put Daniel in charge of the kingdom. Like, he would like basically to make Daniel almost be like the head governor, like the head honcho, like almost the king without being the king, essentially. So, but then, you know, all these people, you know, some of his leaders and that decided, like, they wanted to, like, basically play political games and look for ways to try to charge him for something. Couldn't find anything. And then they were like, oh, what about his God? And then Darius was like, oh. And then he decides to issue a decree that says anyone who prays to Daniel's God in the next 30 days is thrown into the den of lions. And you know what? Daniel didn't give a hoot. He was going home 3 times a day. Some Christians don't even pray once a day. Yeah, some won't even pray. But he goes and does it 3 times a day. Opens his windows. He has his windows that are open toward Jerusalem, mind you. And he's up there praying to the Lord, you know, making his prayers, his supplication. And then people notice, you know, different leaders notice that he's been praying. And they go to the king and they're like, King Darius, didn't you issue a decree? Didn't you issue an executive order? We saw this executive order thing during COVID here in America where I live. You had these governors. My governor here where I live in Michigan, I mean, our governess, basically you could only go where she said you could go. You could only buy what she said you could buy. You could only buy what she specifically said that you could buy, not necessarily all the other stuff. This Darius, he issued the decree, that executive order. And people, and then, the satraps went up there and asked him, the different, and he says, the law stands as it was written. And it was made, and he made it written in such a way so that he couldn't just rescind it. He couldn't just, issue the executive order and then, rescind it the next day. Like it was meant to last the whole 30 days. And so he issued his order and basically it stands. And so because Daniel, did not follow the executive order, he was thrown into the lion's den. But guess what? He wasn't hurt at all. He wasn't hurt a bit. The lions didn't even bug him. The angel of God shut the mouths of the lions. He shut the mouths of the lions so that the lions could not hurt Daniel. And then Daniel's at home. He's all, back in his palace, and he can't even sleep. Doesn't want any entertainment. Doesn't want food. Doesn't want, he doesn't want, his drink of choice. He basically doesn't even want, I don't even think he wants water. If I was him in this day and age, I'd want my, normally I'd want my, Coca-Cola or whatever. Maybe, my Coca-Cola or something nice and tasty like that. Maybe a milkshake, maybe a peanut butter milkshake. Maybe a peanut butter milkshake, like from DQ or something, like one of the best peanut butter milkshake. By the way, since you're like a king or whatever, it's probably better than DQ. Yes. Amen. Doesn't somebody want a peanut butter milkshake or no? I take it no. I guess, Jamie, nobody likes peanut butter milkshakes anymore.
Oh, I don't know. Chocolate's my favorite.
Kaylee, I take it nobody likes peanut butter milkshakes anymore. Peanut butter is better.
I think it is peanut butter.
Yay! Peanut butter in my mind is the winner, or like Oreo or something. I'd want one of those like shakes or something. Or Coke or Coca-Cola or something like that. But this king, he was like, he was pacing around the floor, couldn't sleep, didn't want any of his, choice. Or entertainment or whatever, like the things that he enjoyed. He didn't want any of that. And then in the morning, he goes to the den of lions. He says in an anguished voice. You can tell he's in anguish, for what he had done. Daniel, was God able to deliver you? Yeah, and he says, yeah. But he's like, well, yes. The Lord shut the mouths of the lions. And Daniel had all those people who falsely accused Daniel of doing wrong, those people who were trying to play political games, trying to get political points. I mean, that wasn't like democracy like the way we have in our country, but I would essentially call it politics stuff. Those people who were trying to do that, you know, trying to get Daniel in trouble, they were thrown in the den. But guess what, though? Before they even reached the bottom of the den, lions, roar, gone. All those people, bones, gone. Because the lions just ate them up, ate them for lunch. You see, even though Daniel was going through that den, was going through that lion's den, even though he was going through a very rough thing, you know, God shuts the mouths of those lions. He shut the mouths. He stopped the devourer, which in this case was the lions. He stopped the devourer, the lions that would have been trying so hard to devour him. And he shut their mouths so that they couldn't do. I mean, they couldn't even roar. They were quiet. Because usually, you know, lions mark their territory by a roar that you can hear a ways away. They use that roar, you see, to mark their territory. And, but, you see, but Daniel, he didn't say, oh, I'm in a lion's den. I guess it doesn't pay to serve God no more. He could have been like, well, I know the mouth lines are shut, but I don't like being in this den. He could have said, you know, I just don't know. I don't know if this works or not. But no, he stuck with it. He decided to keep serving the Lord. And God, you know, he shut the lion's mouth. Made it so that the lions couldn't just do whatever it was that they wanted to do. You know, take apart, you know, cut apart at Daniel. You know, do the things that they would have wanted to do. You know, do the things that they would have wanted to do to Daniel. They were unable to do what they had wanted to do to Daniel. They couldn't do what they wanted to do to Daniel because Daniel was trusting in God like he was supposed to be. He was trusting in God. And God had him. He let God be God. And Daniel didn't go through what he might have otherwise had to go through. I mean, God was there for him. And Daniel wasn't afraid to admit, you know, I love my God. You know, he made his stand. He prayed to God, regardless of that executive order. That was issued. And some people might say, you know, Romans 13, obey authority. But you don't want to disobey God. You don't want to disobey God. You know, I mean, we do respect authority and all that, but we don't want to disobey God and get out of bounds in the ways of God. Don't want to get to where in the eyes of God, you know, we're now out of bounds, out of line. Because if you get out of bounds, that's not good. I don't care what you say, little computer. I am busy doing an online radio show. There. Yep. I did it. I know how to silence disruptors. Not children. But I mean, like, computer program disruptors that try to disrupt a radio show. Yep, I have ways to disrupt them. If I have to deal with them, if I have to, and not just let them do whatever it is that they want to do. Okay, I know I wasn't trying to be bad or nothing. It was just saying a little update thing, but you know. But nonetheless, you see, you know, you just got to let God be God. God was moving on Daniel's behalf because he shut the mouths of those lions. And lions are fierce. They really are. And in Michigan with the Detroit Lions, we know how lions are supposed to be. Yeah, supposed to be. For a while, the Detroit Lions were just sleeping. Luckily, they woke up, but Detroit Lions, that's beside the fact. God delivered Daniel from the den of lions. God delivered the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He delivered them. Guess what? He'll deliver you from whatever it is that you're facing right now. He will. Unless it's something that you got into that you shouldn't have been in. God can deliver you. And he will deliver you if you ask him to deliver you. If you ask him to help you, because he loves you. He cares about you. Oh, really? He does? Yes. He does. He cares for his kids. The Lord Jesus cares for his children. And he wants to see them make it. He does. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. And I know that he's not done with me yet. And, you know, if you ask him to help you, he'll help you. I've got my own things to deal with. You've got your own things to deal with. And as I ask God to help me, he helps me. And I just let him be God. I do my part. I let him do his part. Because you can't do God's part, even if you wanted to. God won't do you your part, even though he could. So you do your part, God does his part. You do your part, God does his part. That's how it works. God loves us so much. He cares for us so much. And so Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. We receive this word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter what it is that we face as we go through life, that we would trust in you first and foremost. Not lean on our own understanding, and also, Lord God, that we would stand up for what we believe in. That we wouldn't just believe in you, but decide not to tell anybody that we do. Thank you that we would tell people about you. That we would be soul winners for you, Jesus. And that we would be those who do your word and don't just hear it. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.